y'all shouldn't make me do that. Shouldn't make me do that. Oh, Brother Ford and made me do that. Oh, but we had class on yesterday with our future and prospective elders. And one of the things that we talked about and studied on was worship. Worship should be approached reverently because it's about God. It should be approached prayerfully. But we ought to enjoy what we give to God. And I'm just been encouraged and inspired. And I recognize that God is the audience. But he tells us to worship him that we might benefit. And I've been a benefactor this morning of your presence, the prayers that have gone up to God, the songs that have been lifted up, communing together has inspired and encouraged me. And I'm hope that you have been encouraged by being with one another. And that's why you all never forsake the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. This is the Lord's day, and we ought to be grateful and glad in it. We want to be mindful of Brother Gibbs. He is away at the Lawrence and Martyr congregation this morning, and we want to be prayerful for him. He'll be speaking this morning as well as this afternoon, and if you are so inclined and you just want to go over to support him this afternoon, I'm sure he would appreciate seeing faces from Greenville Avenue. Also, Brother Worthy is over at Lawrence and Martyr supporting the effort there. Brother Myers is out of town. We want to keep him in our prayers. And so you stuck with me on this morning. And so we're just appreciative to this opportunity to share in the preaching ministry of this congregation and to hopefully encourage our hearts this morning. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through verse 10. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity,
that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. On last week, we were inspired by the information that we received from the Brother James of the Sugar Creek congregation, and all of the wonderful work he is doing in the realm of education. And I think all of us were motivated and desirous to see how can we be better. And this morning, I chose this text because I believe that this text helps us to be better. And I want to title this lesson, Elevating My Walk Through Sound Doctrine. Elevating My Walk Through Sound Doctrine. And when we look at our theme, Making the Grade, Elevating My Walk in Talk, there, by definition, I just want to examine the word elevate. It is the process by which something or someone is moved or raised to a high place, position, or state. My is a personal possessive pronoun. And walk is simply the manner of life, how we conduct ourselves. It is our pursuit of a particular course. So when I talk about elevating my walk, I understand that there is a process or a manner in which I personally raise my level, my position in the manner of life or the particular course that I pursue. But while it is my walk, I possess it. I'm going to use sound doctrine to evaluate where I am in regard to elevating my walk. Because I know that if I leave it to myself to devise my own plan, Jeremiah has already said, O Lord, the way of man is not in himself. For it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I need something to help me, to guide me, to direct me as I try to elevate my walk. And I'm going to tell us it is not left to you, because there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. David understood that we can't leave it to ourselves. When he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you and I want to elevate our walk, if we want to go to another level, if we're going to move to higher heights, I'm telling you that it's going to require divine guidance. It's going to require some spiritual influence, and I'm suggesting that we allow sound doctrine to be our guide. That whatever I do, I need to evaluate it, and whatever I plan to do, I need to put it up against what the sound doctrine say. See, when I know when we talk about sound doctrine, that term can be vague and ambiguous. So I want to bring some definition and detail to sound doctrine. What do we mean by sound doctrine? We are talking about the quality and the kind of teaching. Doctrine simply means teaching. Sound simply means that which is healthy, wholesome, physically well. We get our English word hygiene from this word sound. So from a scriptural perspective, sound doctrine is designed to keep me healthy, wholesome, well, have my hygiene in order. It is designed, first of all, Paul talks about that it's designed to keep me morally pure. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If we are so inclined to put it up on the board, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for ungodly and for sinners, for holy, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Verse number 10 says, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. See, the reason why an individual can participate in whoremongering and defile themselves and lie and be perjured is because they are not evaluating themselves against sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what keeps you out of the club. Oh, Lord. Keeps you from twerking and, oh Lord, sound doctrine, and put it up on YouTube. Oh Lord, I'm sorry. Let me get back to my point. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 3, sound doctrine is the way that Jesus taught. Watch what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome, there's our words, sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus. So Jesus' words were sound. Therefore, our words need to be sound. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. If you're going to live godly, if you're going to live pure, you have to do it by sound doctrine. Also, sound doctrine is the faithful word that is to be used by God's leaders to exhort, encourage, and convince those who will oppose God's teachings. Look in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. If we're going to convert and we're going to convince those who are opposed to God, we got to do it with sound doctrine. Healthy teaching. Sound doctrine is to be shared with all members. In our text in Titus chapter 1, he addresses old and young, male and female. Everybody needs sound doctrine. But while I know everybody needs sound doctrine, there's another characteristic of sound doctrine, and it makes us uncomfortable. We have trouble hearing it. We turn from it. We think that it's irrelevant and out of date and out of style and out of touch. And Paul prophetically predicted that individuals would respond that way in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not. Who are the they? They that sit on the pew. They that come into the church. They that are members of the Lord's church. They who shake your hand, but they can't endure what you're saying. He said there's coming a time when they will not endure. They can't tolerate it. They can't bear it. But after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth. They will turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. Now, if they turn, will not endure sound doctrine, and they turn their ears away from the truth, that means they have turned their ears from sound doctrine. So sound doctrine and truth are synonymous. Whenever you preach sound doctrine, you preach the truth. Whenever you preach truth, you preach sound doctrine. So I know that we don't always like sound doctrine. Because even as I was reading Titus chapter 2, 1 through 10, some folks' ears began to itch and turn. Like Donald Trump, some folks started building a wall, a beautiful wall. But let me tell you, just as difficult as sound doctrine is to hear, it's also difficult to preach. Because we all want to have the approval of people. Even those who preach God's word. And that's why Paul commissioned and charged Timothy before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not before the elders and the deacons, but before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, when it's favorable and when it's unfavorable. When it's popular and when it's unpopular. When they smile and when they frown. When they say amen and they sit quietly. When they look at you sideways, and when they shake your hand in the back, or when they pass you by, preach the word of Almighty God. So preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul said, you be patient, but you keep on preaching. Paul realized that that which is healthy will be hard to hear. That which is wholesome, they won't tolerate. That which will promote well-being and good hygiene, they won't endure. Sounds almost just like our children. You spend time cooking a good, healthy meal with vegetables, and you know you ain't make chicken nuggets and things. You put a healthy meal in front of them, and they start talking about, I'm not hungry. You know, your children, you ask them, when was the last time you took a bath or a shower? And sometimes they just can't even remember. Acting like you asked them a trick question. And I'm talking about, these are basics of hygiene and health. Don't ask them about cleaning up after themselves. They might call CPS on you because. But I'm talking about, these are basics of health and hygiene. And if your child will rebel against the basics of health and hygiene, when the what makes us think that the child of God won't rebel when you start talking about things that will lead to healthy living, and things that will lead to righteousness, and things that will lead to good hygiene as it relates to God Almighty? We'll put a wall up. So when we come to the island of Crete, Titus is on a twofold assignment from Paul. Titus 1:5, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou mightest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city." The idea behind setting the church in order is to correct what's wrong, is to restore what is out of order. It is to amend those things that are in need of repair. And I would tell you that this is a great assignment, because just like when you get things in order at home, just as soon as you get one room right, the other room gets messed up. And so this is a continuum of ministry. You will never have it all in order. I don't care how long you've been in the church, you still get out of order. We still get out of order. Let me say it right. Some of us ain't right now. So we got to get in order. And Paul tells Titus how you get the church in order. He says, first of all, you got to have some godly leaders. Those are elders. But then he says, I need you to rebuke those that turn from the truth. Titus 1:13-14. Speak or teach sound doctrine. Titus 2:1. Exhort or encourage. Titus 2:6-9. Be a model, be an example to the people. Titus 2:7. Speak, exhort, rebuke. Titus 2:15. He says, remind the people in Titus 3:1. Constantly affirm good works. Titus 3:8. Avoid foolishness. Don't get caught up in foolish questions and genealogies, contentions, and striving. He says, if you want to set the church in order, this is what you got to do. And beginning in chapter 2, Paul gives Titus the fundamental foundation of the church's educational curriculum. This is not just the educational curriculum for Crete, but it's the model for Greenville Avenue, any church of Christ in Dallas, any church in Texas, the United States, and throughout the world. Paul gives the details of what a sound doctrine curriculum looks like. He tells us who's involved and what you got to teach them. And he starts with the aged men. Watch what he says. Speak thou the things, Titus 2:1, which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. He starts with the aged men, perhaps because this is where leaders come. This is a good place to start, because when aged men are focused on what's right, it can bless all of God's people. Whenever Moses came to deliver the children of Israel, you know where he started? He started with the elders of the children of Israel. It's always good to have some good, wise, older, aged men. It was a wise man by the name of Gamaliel who addressed the council when they decided they want to kill the apostles in Acts chapter 5. And this member of the council, Gamaliel, was a doctor of the law. He had a reputation among the people. He experienced other religious leaders and their movements and saw them come to nothing. And he advised the council in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 38-39. He said, now you refrain from these men. Let them alone, for it is his counsel, or this work be of men, or if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. He said, now But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Even though this man was not a Christian, he was old enough to know that God will, you can't fight against God. He was wise enough to understand that there were movements that came and gone and went, but don't find yourself fighting against God. Because he recognized that that's a battle that you will never win. I mean to tell you now, I know that every man who gets old does not always get wise, but most of the time it happens. It can happen. Job said in Job 12:12, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. Those who are older have accumulated wisdom and understanding. See, with every birthday provides us with an opportunity to get greater insight into life. That's why we ought to respect those who are older. So we understand that they have the proclivity to have to live better and to get wiser. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head, that's the gray-headed person, is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So he's saying, while Job says, as we get older, we ought to get wiser and increase in understanding, Solomon says that the gray-headed person is beneficial if they're going down the path of righteousness. So we owe our older men and our older women a debt of gratitude, because we could not be where we are without their work and service. But they need to understand, not only do we owe them, but they owe us. Amen. And what Paul says they owe is to be sober. Because see, what happens is, the older we get, the more we let things slide. We get tired. We want to relinquish our responsibility. But Titus had to teach the older men, stay on guard. Keep watching. Stay vigilant. Be sober. He says to them that we need some older men who can watch out for the flock of God. Watch what Titus, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 6 says about being sober. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Stay on the job. Be watchful. Wake up, because we need some aged men to be a part of the brothers' meeting. We need some aged men to go in to some of these Bible classes and seeing what's been taught. We need some aged men listening to sermons and making sure that what's being taught is sound doctrine. And you don't have to be an elder to be sober. You don't have to be a deacon to be sober, to be watchful, to be vigilant in the Lord's church. And whenever you see something, it's good to have another older brother who can come up alongside of you and say, brother, I thought I heard. Could you help me understand what you said? And it takes sober men who are watchful and vigilant to be on guard for false doctrine. Then he says, they need to be grave. And grave simply means they need to be worthy of respect. It's living one's life in such a way that it attracts
rather than repels. Even though you've gotten older, you don't have to be cantankerous. But you ought to have a disposition that attracts people to you rather than people avoiding and trying to get away from you. He's saying you got to live your life in such a way that it draws people. See, but one, and I know that this is the same quality and characteristic that's given to elders and deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but one does not have to be an elder or deacon to exhibit the quality of gravity. How inspiring it would be to have men who don't need titles and offices to live lives worthy of respect. We are fortunate to have good men in this congregation who have taken on the mantle of being a grave individual. But I also know that we need to be encouraged to be grow in this area even more. Then he says you need to be temperate. A temperate person places limits on his freedom and places restraint on his passions. See, he recognizes that, as Paul said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. And I will not be brought under the power of any. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 12. So although I'm at the age of being able to go where I want to go, do what I want to do, eat what I want to eat, wear what I want to wear, say what I want to say, but because I made a commitment to Christ, I bring my body under subjection. I count all things but loss for the glory of Jesus Christ. I don't look on my own things, but I look on the things of others. And because I see what you need, I bring myself under control. Then it must be sound in faith. I'm going to finish here in just a minute. Requires, in order for you to be sound in faith, that means you got to know what you believe and why you believed it. We need more individuals outside of preachers and teachers and elders who are sound in the faith. Paul would tell Titus to rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. It is the faith that one is to be sound in. The faith is the Christian system that contains the teachings of Christ. So then faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So we need to understand that in God's church, we need aged men who are sound in the faith, who can help defend the faith, who can help those who are weak in the faith. But it also must be sound in charity, in love, and in patience. In other words, an aged man ought to demonstrate godly love. Show us what love looks like. Because we need love among God's people. We got to be sound in patience. Patience says that I endure in spite of the situation, in spite of the circumstances. Someone might say to you, you too old-fashioned, but that's all right. I'll be patient. Younger may not always understand where you're coming from, but just be patient.
They may not sing the song that you used to sing when you grew up in the church, but that's all right. Just be patient. Kids may not have the same kind of respect that you was used to seeing when you came up, but just be patient. I know as we look at this idea of sound doctrine, every time, and I'm not going to be able to get to the aged women. I messed up in first service and said the old women, but I'm not going to be able to get to the aged women. Yes, yet. But when we talk about sound doctrine, everything he lists in here becomes the grade book. See, if you want to know how well you're doing, check your temperance. Check your patience. Check how well you are sound in the faith. And then when you check that, you give yourself a grade. Amen. And that'll let you know where you stand. See, when you talk about sound doctrine, I told you that we don't always like to hear it.
Amen.
But I just wanted you to evaluate when you heard the aged women likewise be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I just want you, when you start hearing the women, young women to be, what did it say you ought to be? Teach the young women to be sober, love their husband. Now, you know, this day and age.
Amen. Amen.
Nobody won't hear that. Love your beekeepers. What? You got me messed up. But I'm trying to tell you, this is sound doctrine. We live in a time where the divorce rate is of epic proportions, not only in the world, but in the church.
Amen.
And we run into everything else but doing what God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All I'm just asking is sound doctrine needs to be a part of everything we do.
Yes.
And I've got to evaluate my life based upon sound doctrine. When I do that, you know, my children, they just, you know, got their grades last week. And you know, I could go check them out. You can go online and look at them. And I noticed that the grades the week before, things were turned in. You know, some of those grades was, and then they started asking for some extra credit and some,
yes.
Can I get some more work and turn in so that by the time the grade book closed, those borderline grades were looking real good then. And all I'm saying then, as we look at sound doctrine, we got to look at the grade book. And I know some of us, our grades are pretty low and we might need to get some extra credit and some extra help and some more prayer. But God says, I got grace for you.
Amen.
My grace is sufficient. And the good thing about God's grade book, it doesn't close until your hands are lying folded in death. So you got a little more time. But don't you take advantage of all that time, because you never know how much time you got. Now is the accepted time. If you can get it right now, get it right now, because we need to change our mentality. The world wants us to balk at what? Even we in the church, this ain't deep enough.
Yeah. Amen.
This is the service stuff.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
You know, and we be looking for something new.
Amen.
Somebody come with something brilliant and bright. But if they come with it, that means they made it up.
Amen.
Yeah.
I know that's right.
Amen.
Stick with the word.
That's right.
If you're going to be saved, it requires sound doctrine. The truth. You know, I got to go because we own sound doctrine. When people hear that there is but one church
Amen.
That God has approved Amen. Of in his Amen. Word, but then Amen. You hear somebody with some sick doctrine tell you
Amen.
A church is a church is a church.
Amen. Go ahead.
Now you got to evaluate that by sound doctrine. Now, if you use that kind of rationale,
Amen. Break it down, Bryce.
And you bank at Wells Fargo,
uh-huh.
but you go to a Bank of America talking about give me my money because a bank is a bank is a bank. You going to jail. See, that stuff only, it don't even make sense in the real world. But yet we try to bring that. I'm talking about sound doctrine. And if we're not making the grade in sound doctrine, what are we making the grade in? What's going to take the place? What book you going to read? I mean, that's going to really.
Go ahead.
I mean, I know there's some good books out there. I don't doubt it. I read all the time. But if I take what I read in some man's book
uh-huh.
over what God has said in his book, then I must have already, I've turned from God
Amen.
And I've turned to man.
That's right.
Oh, let me stop.
That's good,
if you're here, you're not a child of God. Sound doctrine is the only way one can be a child of God.
Amen.
The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But man has convoluted and mixed it up to where they think you can't even make understand the plain English that God has already put in his word. And think you need to do something more. To do more is to do too much. And to do less is to do too little. Because God in his word has already told us what we need to do.
Amen.
If you're here, you're not a child of God, you need to come to Jesus by faith, by repentance, and by baptism. Because that's what's found in God's word. If you're here, you're a child of God, but you've been looking at how your life measures up. And you see, I'm weak in some areas. I got some 50s and 60s I need to bring on up. God is so good that he gave us this day to get it right. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing? Will you come?
When the Savior calls,
said I will land and answer, and when he calls for me.